For those of us in hurricane tracking territory, especially here in South Florida, watching Hurricane Florence devastate Wilmington, North Carolina, and the surrounding areas was a big wake-up call. So it's time to talk about what we need to do in advance of any hurricane which might hit our shores. Kim Langford is the contributing editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and she's going to help us focus our attention on the hurricane season as it plays out. Hi, Kim. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, we all saw the effect of Hurricane Florence this month, and it looks like hurricane season might be active this year. Let's talk about what we can all do to protect ourselves. Number one, I guess you have to secure your home. Let's talk about how to do that.
Well, and that is right. And it really depends on what kind of time frame you have. I mean, on the long, long-term scale, you know, especially people in Florida, whenever you're replacing your roof, really think about all of the things that can help protect your home from hurricanes. And in fact, in Florida, people can get special insurance discounts for using a lot of hurricane protection steps when they're replacing their roof, when they're replacing their windows, and many other things kind of on a long-term home improvement side. But now that we're in hurricane season, and if you have just a few weeks or even a few days before a hurricane, there's still a few things you can do. For example, some of the hurricane experts say that a really key thing to do is close your interior doors. And that just helps the wind from getting around in your house and, you know, eventually blowing off your roof. They found in all of their research that that simple step can make a big difference. If you have a little bit more time, you can end up, you know, boarding up some of the windows or even just looking in your attic and seeing if any light is coming through and knowing that those are some things that are some cracks that you can seal up with caulk or some adhesive. And some of those things can just really help protect your home, even at the last minute.
Yeah.
Another key thing is trimming trees. Anything you can do to trim some of those branches, because they can go flying around, become projectiles, and then just cause a lot of damages that may not be covered by your insurance.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that you said there. I thought it was really interesting about going up in your attic, with a flashlight, or during the day, so you can see if there's any, first of all, see if there's any water stains. That's number one. That would be something to look for. And then, of course, if you can see daylight in your attic, that's not a good sign. You know, you're going to want to get that fixed right away. So you want to caulk or seal around doors and windows. The interesting thing about closing your doors, because there is some mythology here, I think, with tornadoes as to whether you're supposed to keep your doors. There's some event that is the door thing, but I always thought keeping your doors closed inside was just a myth. But you're saying no, because the air pressure in the house, if it gets to go throughout all the house, then could lift off your roof, right?
That's exactly right. And the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety, their website is disastersafety.org. Their CEO was just telling me that they've been doing a lot of studies about this recently and found out that it really does make a difference. That's one of the key pieces of advice they're giving to people. Even if they have just a day or so or even a few hours before the hurricane hits, that's a simple, simple thing they can do. And another thing is disastersafety.org, their website, and also flash.org, which is the Federal Alliance for Safe Homes. Both of those have a lot of really great step-by-step advice for protecting your home from hurricanes. And you also mentioned tornadoes. They also have a lot of advice for protecting against tornadoes and other types of disasters, because some of the steps can be different.
We'll list those websites on our website, which is stevepomerantz.com. And so if Kim spoke too quickly, and I could not write that fast either, we'll get together with Kim after the segment and make sure to put those up. Now, the state of Florida would have a website. FEMA would probably have a website as well, right?
That is correct. And these government resources really have a lot of information. In North Carolina, for example, you know, right before Hurricane Florence, the North Carolina Department of Public Safety put up a page devoted to preparing for Hurricane Florence. And they had the Ready NC app, which a lot of states have an app like that, that can provide all kinds of really localized information about disasters. You can sign up for disaster alerts. It can also help you find out where there are some mobile claims units. For example, FEMA and the state disaster agencies, usually after a hurricane, set up places where you can go in person and meet with them about some of your issues, because in many cases, you know, cell systems may be down.
Yeah.
You may not be able to access your phone, and you can go in person and find out from them about things you can do to apply for aid, things you can do to protect your home, and your insurance company may be there as well. Also, find out from your insurance company ahead of time if there is a disaster predicted, you know, the best way to reach them. A lot of insurers have apps now as well where you can start to submit your claim through your cell phone. And if your home is in a situation where you can actually access it afterwards, if you weren't evacuated, go around with your phone, take a video, take pictures right afterwards so they can see what the damages were. And you might be able to upload those onto that app to your insurance company right away, get you in line to get that claim paid.
Yeah. So that also brings up the point about videoing or taking pictures of your valuables before the hurricane and then uploading them to some site that is in the cloud. It's not attached only to the memory on your phone or the storage on your phone. Also, I want to get back into some of these more simple things too, as far as clearing the yard. I mean, getting the dead limbs out of the way and even your patio furniture. Used to be years ago, people threw their patio furniture into the pool. Is that something recommended?
You know, that's one of the people at one of the disaster preparation organizations said people still do that, and that can still help. The key thing is all of these things that are out in your yard could become projectiles during a big windstorm.
So think that
way. And so think about whether it's your furniture, whether it's, you know, even just, you know, potted plants, any sculptures you have out there. Just think about what you can do to make sure that they're not going to go flying away.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another key thing is cleaning your gutters. You know, a simple thing will make it, you know, so the rain will drain where it's supposed to go. And also just see where that's draining. Make sure that it's draining away from your house and not kind of pooling right there, because that could cause a lot of problems too.
Yeah, so it's a question of using common sense and focusing. Some other ideas here are pack an emergency kit. You know, it's not unusual for electricity to be out for a while. Let's see, flashlights, batteries, a phone that plugs into the wall. What is that, I wonder?
I know, back in the old days, before everyone had their cell phones, and even just your regular phone that you're on for your landline, a lot of people have a handset that is powered by electricity. And so if the electricity goes out, they can't even access their landline. So think about one of those old phones that just actually plugs into the wall. Not that you can, you know, walk around your house with, but just plugs into the wall. Have that just so you can access that if you need to. And another thing is ATMs. You know, a lot of times, and I've talked with a lot of people after Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Katrina, were just a long time with the electricity was out in their area, ATMs were inaccessible. And so just have some extra cash on hand if it's difficult to get some cash or if it's difficult to get somewhere. In fact, if you have some damages, you may have to pay someone, you know, right away. It may need to, you know, pay someone in cash immediately.
Yeah.
That also brings up the issue to be careful about who you get to work on some damages because some people do prey upon people after disasters. So try to work with people you've already had a relationship with to help patch up your house after disaster.
So many of us remember that type of situation back in Wilma in 2005, not being able to get any money because the ATMs, there was no electricity for many, many weeks. As a matter of fact, interestingly, unfortunately, we had a family member that was in the hospital. They had full power and they had an ATM down in the lobby. So that was able to take care of that. The other thing too is make sure that you get your gas tank filled beforehand. You don't think about these things, but if the electricity is down and gas stations are not necessarily going to be able to pump gas for you, so you want to have a full tank. I want to talk about things to know about insurance claims. You know, I think there's a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding about flood insurance. Tell us about that really quickly.
Well, and that is, you know, so many people I think really learned after Hurricane Harvey last year that flooding is not covered under your homeowner's insurance. And so, you know, if it's wind-driven rain or water that comes in from the top down or, you know, wind damage, those things are covered by home insurance. But water that's coming up from the bottom up is not covered. And there's several ways you can get coverage. For years and years, you know, the main game in town was FEMA's National Flood Insurance Program. And you can go to floodsmart.gov, find out about those policies. And your homeowner's insurance agent, most of them also sell those policies. But in many states, and Florida is one of the leaders in this area, there's many more private insurers offering flood insurance as well. And this is offering some competition to the federal program. In some areas, the private insurance can cost less. In some areas, it can cost more than the federal program. So it's really a good idea to talk with your insurance agent and find out if they sell both types of policies and compare what those costs are. Another key thing with the private policies is you can get coverage up to the amount of your homeowner's insurance in many cases, as opposed to some much lower limits that you'd have under the federal program. So it's really a good idea to check it out. And in Florida, people do have a lot more private flood insurance options than they do in many other states.
Mm-hmm. Also, don't forget that your policy will probably have a hurricane deductible of 2% to 5% before you get your first dollar back. So don't be surprised about that. Well, we're out of time. My guest, Kim Langford, contributing editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance. And we're talking about hurricanes. And we will list all the websites that she mentioned on our website. So remember to visit our website, stevepomerantz.com, to join the conversation and listen and read all of our segments. While you're there, sign up for our weekly update for all the important topics that we've covered straight into your inbox. That's stevepomerantz.com. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you very much.